Good morning. It's very good to be back. Now, I'm going to leave the adventures of our flight to Toronto. We went to Toronto, and from Toronto to New York. I'm going to leave that for a later date. We were on flight 015 to Toronto that was diverted from the Toronto airport because of a threat of an Al-Qaeda missile. We were diverted to Montreal Airport, and from for about an hour or two in Montreal, then to Hamilton, Ontario, and from Hamilton, Ontario, we went by caravan of buses with cars on one side, cars in front, cars in back. The entire fleet of Canadian helicopters, one small one hovering overhead, and we finally made it to Toronto. It was about an 8 hour.
I'm going to put all these down here so you don't knock it over.
It was an 8 hour extension of our flight, and as soon as we landed in Montreal, somebody who lives in Toronto, and whenever they're here, they attend Europe, etc. like gold. I know that this is going to make a great drusha. I just hope I'm there when you say it. So, of course, there were certain adventures, but we're going to leave that. Now we're going to talk Torah, because I think I have some interesting things to say this morning. The shir is about one person. He appears, he doesn't appear. Now you see him, now you don't. But he is going to perform a function of such significance and such importance. He's going to be the male midwife who's going to be there at the birth of the Jewish people. He is the most significant character in Parashat Chayisara, Eliezer, the servant of Avram. His name doesn't even appear once. If I would have had time, I would have counted how many times it says Ha'eved, Vayomer, the servant, the servant, the servant. His name doesn't appear. He's beneath the surface in Parshat Vayera, but all we know about him there is he's referred to as the Nar, one of the young people who goes with Avram, who accompanies Avram and Yitzchak to the Akedah, Eliezer and Yishmael. He appears for the first time in Parshat Lech Lecha. And I never bothered to really study Eliezer. And I find him to be extremely significant. There must be a better word than significant. He's crucial. He is a character of such intensity and such strength and such greatness. And you know, he does the sort of Eliezer, okay, Eliezer, Eved Avraham. I hope that by the end of this year, you will never again underestimate Eliezer, the servant of Avraham. Number one, we have the Pesukim in Lech Lecha. There's a world war going on. Vayetze melech Sedom, melech Amoro, melech Abmo, melech Tzvoyim, melech Bela, Hitzor, Vayarchu, Itam, Milchama, Beimek Hasidim. There are five kings who have been attacked by the four, and the five go out to defend themselves. Against whom are they defending themselves? Against Kedorlaomer, Melech Elam, and Tidol, Melech Goyim, and Amraphel, Melech Shinar, and Arioch, Melech Halosa, Arbor, Melech Metachamisha. Four against five. Amraphel, by the way, and this will be significant, Amraphel, Rashi had told us, was Nimrod. Nimrod, in Parshat Noach, we were told he was the first mighty one who rebelled against God. So here it is, great battle. The scene of the battle is someplace near Sodom, Ve'en Kasidim, the valley of the fields, Be'erod, Be'erod, Chemar, pits of lime, Vayonusu, Mel of Sodom, Vamora, Vayipu, Shoma, Vahanish Odim, Heron, Nosu, the king of Sodom and Amora fell into the pits, and the rest fled to the mountains. Vayikru had called the Chush Sodom, Vamora, they took all of the wealth of Sodom and Amora. That kol achlam vayelechu, they took all the provisions that belonged to Sodom, and then a very fascinating passage. We just now said that they took all of the wealth of Sodom and Amorah and all of their provisions. The next pasuk seems to be repetitious. Vayikhu et Lot, they took Lot and all of his possessions. Ben Achi Avram, the one who was the son of the brother of Avram. Vayelech, when they went. Vuhu Yoshev B'Sodom. Now, first of all, the fact that, well, why isn't he included in the pasuk before that says that they took everything? Why does he have to be identified as Ben Achi Avram, the son of the brother of Avram? Why does it say Vayelechu? A second time it says Vayelechu, and they went as though that signals the end of the war. When Lot and all that belongs to Lot, when he is captured, the war has come to an end. That's it. Vayovo Hapolit Vayageid Lavrom HaEvri. The polit Og, the one who fled, came and told Avram the Hebrew, who shochein beilona mamne ha'amori achiesko v'chiona v'hein bali brit Avram. They were the those who had entered into a treaty with Avram. Vayishma Avram, Avram heard ki nishba achiv, that his brother, his mishpucha, had been taken captured. Vayorech et chanichav, and he gathered his men, yilidei beito, those who were born in his house, shmona, also, 118, and they pursued them until dawn. 318. What did I say? Oh, very good. I always love when you listen to me. You catch me. It's very good. They divided themselves during the course of the night. Smote them and pursued them until Chova, which is to the left of Damascus. By the way, you wouldn't know it from the Psukim, but this is the first time that Eliezer appears in Torah. But there's no name here. It doesn't say a word about him. But Rashi tells us, do I have the Rashi here? I didn't have the Rashi here. So I'll tell you what the Rashi says. Rashi says 318. Either 318 was the number of people he had in the house, or 318 is the gematria, the numerical value of Eliezer. Trust me, Eliezer equals 318. It seems, whichever way you look at it, this was a miraculous battle. 318 men against four mighty powers. And certainly if it's one man, it's an even more magnificent battle that has taken place. So they say it's Eliezer. Rashi says it's Eliezer. He's the one who went out. Either he went out alone, or he went out at the head of 318 men. And here we get a first indication of Eliezer's background. In number four, I have Targum Yonatan ben Uziel on Pasuk 14. 14 is the Pasuk where it says he sends out his men. I'll read it and translate it. V'chad shama Avram, when Avram heard Arum ishtibei achui, that his brother, his mishpacha, had been captured, v'zayam yat ulamei d'chanich l'krova, and he armed the young people whom he had educated to be able to fight, marbe yonei beitei, those who had been raised in his house, v'lot sovu l'mahal cho'imei, and they didn't want to go with him. Ubacha min hom, so he chose one, Yap Eliezer bar Nimro. Targum Yonatan tells us something that we didn't know. Eliezer was the son of Nimrod. Nimrod is one of the four kings. Nimrod is the great rebeller against God. Who's the one that threw Avram into the furnace? Nimrod. Targum goes on to say that having Matil Bidvurte, he was compared in his strength, Kichulon, like all of the 318, and he pursued till dawn. Do you understand what's happening over here? What's happening over here? Nimrod, who is the symbol of rebellion against God in the world, symbol of rebellion against God and the world. Can you imagine Shulamit Aloni's son becoming a Gederhus? Can there be worse poetic justice than that? So the Abish the Hapitan, my son became Rav Tshuva. Nimrod's son is Eliezer. Who is the great antagonist of Nimrod? The battle in the world is between Nimrod and Avraham. And Eliezer chooses sides. Do you know how difficult this is? He chooses sides and he rejects his father and he follows Avraham. Unbelievable. Do you know what strength this takes? Do you know what greatness lies in that choice? And don't tell me psychological stuff. He had a difficult childhood and he wanted to aggravate the kishkis out of his father. And what worse aggravation can there be than joining Avraham? Now you're going to see that that's not Eliezer. Not with a man who has a name Eliezer. Most probably his name must have been, I don't know, Theodosius. But he changed it to something. He changed it and he called himself Eliezer. God will help. Can you imagine? Now do you understand something else? You're going to understand the Zohar. We asked, why does it say that they captured Lot and all of his possessions, Vayelechu? Do you know what this whole battle was about? You robbed my son Eliezer from me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take your Lot. The whole struggle was a struggle between Avraham and Nimrod. The Zohar says, number three, Vayikhu et Lot v'derechusho, they took Lot and all of his wealth, ben achi Avraham v'yelechu, and they went. My Tama, what's the reason that they left? Where did the war end when they captured Lot? Begin the yukne de Lot on your domin Avraham. Lot looked like Avraham. Lot was a great stand-in for Avraham, a double. And by capturing Lot, do you know what Nimrod now has in his hands? That which he once had, the Avraham that he threw into the Kishon Ha'esh, who slipped out of his fingers. Now he has Lot. Ubikinkach, therefore by Yelechu. That's why they leave. The battle is over. The war is over. Whatever Nimrod and Raphael wanted, he now had accomplished. The Kol Ha'u Krova Beginei Hava. The Zohar says the whole battle was only about Lot or about Avraham. Begin to have Avraham, Bani Alma, Mipulchan, and Uchra, for all of the Pulcha, the Kucha, because Avraham was taking a world out of the worship of idolatry and bringing them to the worship of God Almighty. The struggle is a religious struggle. It's a struggle between Nimrod and Avraham, and it's going to play itself out through Lot and Eliezer. Eliezer is mighty. Eliezer is strong. Eliezer, you know what he's going to do? That night, he defeats his father in battle. And when he defeats his father in battle, he has also destroyed the heritage of Nimrod. Now it's going to be Avraham who will be Nesi Elokim, the Prince of God in the world. Eliezer has accomplished that. Where does Eliezer appear for the first time in Torah? What do we hear? We haven't even heard the name Eliezer. We talk about him, we know about him, or we think we know about him. His name appears in number 6. Acha Havarim Ha'ela, this is after the struggle, after the battle. After the battle, God appears to him and he says, in a vision, saying, "Al tira avum, don't be afraid. Anochi magen loch, I will protect you. Schorcha harbe miod, your reward is great." Rashi says one of the things that Avraham is concerned about, he may have killed innocent people in battle. You know, one of the things he can't help. The only people in the world who are condemned for doing that, of course, is us. The Americans can kill thousands in Afghanistan and in Iraq, but the only ones who are condemned for killing innocent civilians And Avram is the one who's concerned, Rashi says, all of this, these people that I killed in battle. I know I had to do it. But it doesn't mean that because I had to do it, I wanted to or I enjoyed it. God says, Al-Tira, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Avram, don't be afraid. Vayomer Avram, Hashem Lekim, Avram says, God, Matitili, what are you going to give me? Vonochi Holei Haridi, I'm childless. Ubeneshek Beiti, the one who's in charge of my house, is Damesek Eliezer. Damesek Eliezer. I think, you know, I like to make these broad comments, but I don't think Eliezer's name appears any place else aside from here. In Parshat Lech Lecha. God says, don't worry. Eliezer's not the one who's going to inherit you. You're going to have a son. Damesek Eliezer. Now, watch this. So this, I have to take my jacket off because this is not... I want you to listen to this carefully. I have two texts of the Rashi on the word Damesek. One on top of the other, seven is one, and eight is the other. Now, this is one of the things that occurred to me. I don't know how. I was in Toronto, and all of a sudden, and maybe I'll remember, I'll restructure how this occurred to me. Then Meshek Beiti, Kitargumo, as the Rashi says, as Targum says, Shekol Beitini Zonam Piv, my whole house is fed through him. Okay, the most important is Damesek. Rashi says three pshatim on Damesek. He's Eliezer, Damesek Eliezer. First one is the Targum. Lefi HaTargum, Targum Utka says, Mi Damesek Hoya. He came from Damascus. Pretty simple, straightforward. He was Eliezer, the Damascene. He came from Damascus. Rashi says, another pshatim Lefi Medrash Agoda, according to the Medrash, Sherodap HaMalachim Ad Damesek. He pursued the kings until Damascus. The Pasuk said it earlier. He pursued them that night until Chobah, which is to the left of Damascus. Now this, the first pshat, Targum is writing the word, Damesek Eliezer. That's simple. The second pshat, the Medrash, also has something on which it can lean, the fact that yes, he may have gotten the name Damesek Eliezer because he was the one who pursued them until Damascus. Uba Talmud. Watch that word. Talmud says, Dorshu Notrikin. They learned the name Notrikin, meaning a composite of a number of words. Damesek, Dole, the one who fetches, Umashke, and gives to drink, Torah's Rabbo la'achedim, the Torah of his Rebbe to others. The third pshat is a pshat that in a sense is describing the spiritual dimension. Damesek, he is the one. Dole means, can you imagine, you know, a well, send the, yes, you send the what do you call it, not a pot, the bucket. The bucket. You send the bucket down. I don't know, we went to, they tell me when I was 5 years old, we went someplace in the country, that's how you got water. Dole umashke, and gives to drink, Torah's Rabbah Lachem, because Torah is always, is considered like water, that which quenches the spiritual thirst. Hoy kol tzomei l'chulamayim, Yeshayahu says. Now, number eight is the same Rashi, but one difference. It's from the art scroll. Sapperstein, Stone, Schattenstein, one of those editions with the Perush HaRashi, which is exceptional. It's excellent. I even saw Rabbi Zlatowitz a few weeks ago near Hanov. I told him, after all these years, you know that I have my complaints to art scroll. But I have to admit, you did an outstanding job. You opened up Gemara nobody's going to have an excuse that they couldn't learn Gemara because they'll show them hard scrolls. After 120 years in heaven, they'll show you an hard scroll. And if you said, I couldn't learn Chumash and Rashi, I didn't understand the Rashi, they're going to take out that edition and they're going to show you, here it is. Anybody could have learned the Parsha Chumash and Rashi. There's a slightly different text of the Rashi. Two words are different. And by the way, this edition is in a real sense very scholarly. They bring various texts of Rashi. Damesek, Lufi HaTargum, Mi Damesek Hayo. According to the Targum, it's from Damesek. Ulufi Medrash HaGadah, according to the Medrash, Lufi Medrash HaGadah, Shadada Pamalachim, he pursued the kings until Damascus. Now take a look how Rashi introduces in this text the third pshat. Ubi Gemara Shalom. And in our Gemara, the Babylonian Talmud. In the Rashi, the first text, it just said Ubi Talmud. Here all of a sudden, different text. Rashi says Ubi Gemara Shalom. And in our Gemara, they learned it. They expounded the word as an abbreviated form of Dola El Mashka, who would draw water and give drink. I have a problem with this Rashi. I would say a conservative estimate of the number of times that Rashi quotes the Babylonian Talmud in his commentary on Chumash has to be about 1,000 times. It's all built on Medrash and Talmud Bavli. Babylonian Talmud. Only one other place in all of Torah does Rashi refer to this Talmud Bavli as Gemara Shalanu. What do you mean Gemara Shalanu? What's he talking about? What does he mean? So you have to understand another thing. Medrash was written in Eretz Yisrael. Now, 15 years ago, I gave a shiur on another Rashi. I'm not going to go into that Rashi, but I have it over here for you to see, number 9, where Rashi in Parashat Vayigash says two pshatim on a pasuk. The pasuk is talking about when Yosef's brothers come to Egypt. Yosef brings 5 of his brothers before Paro, and there's a difference of opinion who were the 5. I'm not going to go into it, but what you see on the line, after Rashi brings the first pshat, he says Zeh Lashon Bereishit Rabbah. This is what was said in Bereishit Rabbah, which is Agadat Eretz Yisrael. The Agadah, the Agadic literature that was written in Eretz Yisrael. Avol b'Gemara Bavlit Shelanu, but in our Babylonian Gemara, there's a different pshat. That's clearly one of the most unusual Rashi's in all of Torah. He never does it. He quotes Medrash 1,000 times. Does he tell us? Then, you know, he sounds like a professor of biblical literature at Hebrew University with a footnote. That this is the Israeli Midrash, and this is the Babylonian Talmud. He never does it. So I explained there that there were two different perspectives, and the two different perspectives was the result of the fact that those who wrote the Midrash lived in Eretz Yisrael, and those who wrote Talmud Bavli lived in the Golos. I want to say the same thing is true in this Rashi. And the correct text is the text of the Yad Scroll. Because the fact is, this third pshat, that he was Dole Umashke, it's an abbreviated form of Dole Umashke, that he fetches and he gives to drink, Mitoras Rabo, from his Rebbe's Torah. He was the one who disseminated the Torah of Avraham. Doesn't have a leg to stand on in the text. Targum Onkelos says he came from Damascus because he's Damascus Eliezer. You call somebody Damascus Eliezer, that means he came from Damascus. If you want to say he was called Damascus Eliezer because he pursued the 4 great kings all the way to Damascus, so it says it in the pasuk, and he may very well have received the name because that's what he did. But the third, to take a word Damascus, which clearly is the name of the place, and turn it into something of a spiritual nature, this is a little different. I believe Rashi here is telling us that there's a different perspective in Eretz Yisrael from Talmud Bavli. the perspective of Eretz Yisrael was the perspective of we have to stand up and defend ourselves. We don't leave a soldier in the field. Somebody's been captured, we will do everything that's necessary in order to bring him back. Lot has been captured, we're going out. Mesiras Nefesh, Kiddush Shem Shemayim, we're going to bring him back. The perspective of Talmud Bavli was the perspective of a Jewish community that was no longer able to defend itself or fight for itself. Where did the real battles take place? In the world of Babel. Milchamto Shel Torah, the battle of Torah. It became sublimated into the great struggle of Torah. You know what Rashi is saying? You know why Rashi brings all these three pshat in? Because all three are absolutely true. If you want to know about Eliezer, you should know he came from Damascus. You want to know his physical strength, and in addition to that, his moral need to bring back Lot? Medrash Rabba, written in Eretz Yisrael Tereza. You want to know the spiritual dimension, the character of Eliezer? Dole Umashke, Mitoras Rabba Lachay. I can't help it, but sometimes I let my imagination go wild. So first of all, now I remember why I thought about it in Toronto. Because one of the things that I said in Toronto, 60 years after the Shoah, something has changed. A Jew can be in danger someplace in the world, and there's a fellow sitting in Eretz Yisrael who worries about it. It was the Israeli government who notified the Canadians that there may be people with a missile outside of Pearson Airport, you understand? The Canadians didn't know what was going on in their backyard, but there was somebody in Eretz Yisrael who was looking out for Jews. 60 years ago, there wasn't any such thing. You didn't have anybody who was a real Rodef Adon. You didn't have anybody who was going to go out. I see Cookie Maisel here. You were an extremely important character on that plane. Well, Ishto Kigufo, your husband, I just remembered. We were 20 minutes out of Toronto. We were coming in prepared, ready for landing, when the pilot announces that for security reasons we're being diverted to Montreal. And we're moving up again, and we're going to Montreal. We didn't have a clue what was going on. So what occurred to most of us was that there's some kind of terrorist activity or an attack at Pearson Airport, and we better get out of here. And that all flights are being diverted. We land in Montreal, so Dove and Lizzie Rubin, members of my shul, they're also on the plane, and Dove gets onto his cell phone, and he calls Tzvi Maisel in Eretz Yisrael, Cookie's husband, says, check out what's going on. I'm standing next to Dove, and Dove says to me, Tzvi just checked on the on his computer. All planes are coming into Toronto Airport as usual. Only one plane has been diverted. That was when we knew that we had been singled out. They never told us that. Then, of course, at night TV titled the whole story Flight to Safety. And of course, who do you think they interviewed when we finally made it into Toronto? I'll give you one guess. Me and my wife. So we were plastered all across Canadian TV. I never made such an entry into Canada in my life. My wife sees it on TV, she says, I'm nice shape, I should be. Don't tell her I said that. Don't anybody tell her. She'll never forgive me. By the way, it looked great. The shape was okay, but we were exhausted. It was not only a 12, 13 hour flight, and in addition to that, the 8 hours, the going, the waiting, the coming, there were a great deal to complain about, but when we got off the bus in Toronto, so there's a big strapping RCMP officer, and she asks, what happened? Because we didn't know, all this we didn't know. She says, lady, You're safe now. Don't worry about anything. You're safe now. That was, of course, extremely confident. Okay, I didn't plan on going to this, but I just saw you over there, sorry. There's somebody who's concerned about what's happening in Damascus. Chova, Adon. There's somebody who's going to go out there. Didn't have this 60 years ago. My father, Shalom, always used to say, I never, the establishment of the State of Israel came 10 years too late. 10 years too late for 6 million Jews. That's how he has that. But we, so Rashi is saying, if you want to know the full measure of Eliezer, he's from Damascus. He's one who stands up for fellow for Mishpacha. He's strong. And he's also the Dolo Mashkin Torah Rabulachaya. In Toronto I called him the first Hezda student in history. Torah and Torah. But I don't have to do with my imagination. I try to imagine to myself that maybe 50, 60 years before this event, Eliezer leaves his neighborhood in Damascus, you know, he packs his things, and he's going off, and in his neighborhood they ask him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to follow this fellow Abraham, who's coming out of Ur of the Chaldees. On the block, they were laughing at him. Eliezer, what happened to you? What are you talking about? This guy I've known as a flash in the pan. He's another guru. Last 10 years and it'll all be over. And you're going to hitch your wagon to this. The man is mad. They say that there are miracles that are done to him. You believe this kind of stuff. Eliezer, give me a break. You're out of your mind. Eliezer says, no, I'm going. Can you imagine 50 years later, he crushes the 4 great kings, and while he's in Damascus, he goes back to the neighborhood, and he looks around at the neighborhood, and they take a look at Eliezer. I hitched my wagon to a fly by night, a flash in the pan. I joined Avraham Avinu. And you want to see it? The Cheskuni number 2. Hashem Yismol LeDamasek. Visham Dorim B'nei Mishpachto. His family lives there. Mishpachto Shel Eliezer. Kemo Shatir Gim Unklus, as Urban Unklus said, Huda Mesek Eliezer. V'siyu Heim La'avrom B'gino Shel Eliezer. He goes one step further. He says that they assisted Eliezer. I'm not so sure that they assisted Eliezer. I think that they just were standing there with their mouths open, watching Eliezer marching through Damascus. The little boy who they thought was crazy, going off and becoming part of history fair. Courageous. Courageous. If there are clubs now for Avram, Eliezer certainly, there have to be fans of Eliezer. Now let's get to Eliezer in our parasha. I think Eliezer in our parasha reaches the very height of his greatness. Eliezer in our parasha is going to be, as I said at the beginning, he's going to be the midwife at the birth of the Jewish people. Then said, Avraham Avinu can only trust one person with the awesome task of finding a wife for Yitzhak. Everything depends on this. Everything depends on this. All of Jewish history hangs in the balance. And it's being given into the hands of Eliezer. He's the one who's going to have to do the job. That he succeeds beyond his wildest dreams, there's no question about it. But he finds this Rivkala. And I have this feeling, very strong feeling, that there's such an affinity between Eliezer and Rivka. Eliezer could look at Rivka and know she's the one. And I'll tell you why. And here I'm going to make use of a shiur that I said last year. And I'm not going to go through that whole shiur. That was not bad. Okay. And I find new meaning to that shiur. I'll show you. Number 11. Number 11 is the end of Parshat, is the end of Parshat Vayera, right before Chayasura. He came to pass after these things by Yukav Avram. We've talked about this, I think, at some points in the past. Following the great passion of the Akedah, one of the greatest events in all of spiritual history, the Parsha ends with a number of birth announcements. After these things, it was told to Avram, behold, Milcah, she also has children, Tanachal, your brother, Uz, Kemuel, Aram, Keset, Chazal, Pildah, Shidlah, Besuel. Besuel yoladet Rivka. And Besuel gave birth to Rivka. Shmona Eile yoldo Milcah l'machar achi Avram. These eight were born to Milcah from Nachal, the brother Avram, Upilachu Shmor Luma Batelit Avish, also Tevach Gacham Pacha Shema. After this becomes Chayisah. So once I had said a pshat on this, and I don't know, something, was it somebody in Shul here, and Parata came, he heard from his Rebbe 10 years ago, he said over a pshat that I had said on this. You know, on the very heights of the passion of the Akedah, till we come down to Uz, Buz, Keset, Filat, Chazal, Yidlat, I said then, and I think I may have heard this, I can't remember anyone, I heard it from my oldest brother, Rabbi Yosef Yael, Olam HaShem, said, you know, then we're getting a little sick and tired of the world. Yitzchak is born, they kiddish. Yitzchak is weaned, they kiddish. Yitzchak heen, Yitzchak hair, why do you think you're the only one that has children? Now this whole business with the Akedah, the whole world has to know about your Akedah, who cares? We also had children, Gamish, you also had. Schmutz, nothing to pay for them. The difference is the Jewish child, the Yitzchak. The Yitzchak is the one who's going to go on to be the one who will build a great people. But the Gams, the children who are just well, also, any child who is also, nothing will ever come of them. No child is also. Every child has to be precious like a Yitzchak. But now I thought of something else. And it relates to this Sefer. You know what else will explain it? Take a look at number 13 before I explain it. Yitzchak marries Rivka. Yitzchak brought Rivka to the tent of his mother Sarah. He took Rivka. She was his wife. And he loved her. And Yitzchak was consoled after his mother. Rashi says, number 14, he brought her to the tent of his mother Sarah. He brought her to the tent. The Nasi is Dugma Sarah Imo. This Rivka is just like his mother Sarah. Sarah Imo. She is. She calls Mansur Sarah Kayamet as long as Sarah was alive. The candle remained lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, miraculously. There was blessing in the dough. And there was a cloud over the tent. When Sarah died, all of this ended. And when Rivka returned, when Rivka came, they all returned. The question that we dealt with last year was, how indeed did it happen? How does Rivka, who's raised in the house of the Suel and Laban, in a place of evil, and they are evil people, how does she become like Sarah, his mother? So in Ishiyah and Pasha Fayishlach last year, we described another character who is mentioned twice. Once in Parshat Chayisarah, and then again in Pasha Fayishlach. When Rivka is going to leave the house of Laban and Besuel to go marry Yitzchak, she takes Meniktor with her, her nurse. This nurse, we find out later, was called Devorah. I then developed, and I think I proved it, that Devorah was a woman who had been a student of Sarah. She was one of those, just like Eliezer was touched by Abraham. Debora was touched by sorrow. And in the house of Lavan and Bethuel, there's a mole. There's somebody in that house who is raising this Rivka. And you know how she's raising Rivka? To be the image of Zara. It's not the north that she, Yitzchak brings her into the tent and she's Zara Imo, she's like his mother Sarah. How did it happen? You know how it happened? Because somebody who had created herself into the image of Sarah is the one who nurtures and raises her. That's Deborah. What Eliezer was to Avram, Rivka was to Deborah and therefore to Sarah. And it explains a lot of psukim in Parsha Vayishlach. Extremely difficult parsha. At the end of Parsha Vayera, it tells us that Lavan Bethuel gave birth to Rivka. And what happens with this week's Seder? Immediately afterwards, Sarah dies. The Seder begins with the burial of Sarah. I let my imagination go. Sarah is also worried. Is there a Jewish mother who isn't worried about a son who's not married? She has a 37-year-old who's not married. And if not, as Avram himself, Rashi says, is concerned. Avram is concerned. Here was the Akedah. He could have died without having left any children. I must find a way for him. If there's anything to say about the death of Sarah, that it may have been with a sense of peace and calm. You know why? Because when she hears that Bethuel has given birth to a girl by the name of Rivka, Sarah's at ease, because she knows her agent is in place in that house. She has one of her great talmidot, Devorah, is in that house. I know Devorah is going to do what has to be done. She's going to turn that Rivka into my image. There's a sense of peace and tranquility that overcomes Sarah. Now she can die. She doesn't have to worry about Yitzchak. Yitzchak is going to be taken care of. Where in this world is one going to find a girl for a tzaddik like Yitzchak? Zarzavish. In the house of Bethuel, there's a woman called Devorah. And that Devorah is going to raise that Rivka to be Kesara Imo. And that's exactly what happens in this Sedra. She takes her Meneket with her. Yitzchak brings her into the tent. And Rashi says, she is Sara Imo. She is his mother Sara. Because everything that Sara was, Devorah became. And I always wondered, you know, whatever Sarah was, Deborah became, and Deborah made Rivka in that same image. You know it's amazing? What is amazing, it really means, is the Talmidim. Eliezer, student of Avram, Deborah, student of Sarah, these two by Deborah. So therefore I say that at the end of Parshat Vayera, before the death of Sarah, we're told this is the good news. The good news is Bethuel has a girl called Rivka, and Sarah is absolutely certain before she dies that this Rivka is going to be the Shidduch, because she knows she has her agent, she has her Deborah in that house. She's going to make sure that there's going to be someone for you. Tell you, on the basis of all this, I understand a pasuk, and I never understood it this way, and I think I'm right. I think I'm right. Number 12. That Rashi is on the pasuk in the parasha that says, after Eliezer gave Rivka the rings and the bracelets, she comes running home, so it says that she ran lebeit ima, to her mother's house. So Rashi is concerned, why doesn't it say leima, to her mother? So Rashi, number 12, lebeit ima, to her mother's house. Derech Hanoshim Haita, it was the practice of women, Liyotlehen Bayit, Leishay Volamalachtan, to have a house for themselves in which to sit and do their work. Ve'ein Habat Magedet Ela Li'ima, and a daughter only tells her mother. What was bothering Rashi? They could have simply said that she went to her mother. Why does it say she went to Beit Dilan? Don't you know what's going through my mind right now? She didn't go tell her mother. Her mother wouldn't have been able to understand anything that's taking place. She goes to Beit Ima, to the house of her mother, because you know who's in the house of her mother? Devorah. When Devorah will hear that Eliezer Eved Avram is here, Devorah is going to understand, this is it. This is what we have been waiting for. This is what the Rebbe Yishon prepared you for. I think it's beautiful. Tell me it's beautiful. Lebeit Ima. Because her mother is the image of Lavan and Besuel. Don't understand. But there's somebody sitting there in the corner who most probably has been play-acting as an idolatress, a full idolatress, but she's a Talmidah of Sarah. She'll understand everything. I'm sorry, this just... this gave me a great thrill. This gave me a great thrill. Lebeit Ima. There's one problem that I have to... one problem that I have to resolve. Rashi says, number 10, Ulai lo telech ha'isha, when Eliezer is telling the story over to the family of Rivka, to Lavan and Besuel, is telling the whole story. My master sent me, and I came here today, and I came to the well, and I said to God, the girl who I'm going to ask to give me to drink is going to give me to drink and give all of my camels to drink. That's the one whom you've chosen for Yitzchak, and I find this little girl, and she does exactly that. That's something else that we talked about. We talked about last year, chesed to the point of such exaggeration. But that's Rivka, because that's Avram. She belongs in the house of Avram. So it says, Ulai, maybe, perhaps the woman won't want to come with me. Can I take your son? Can I take Yitzchak out to Padan Aram? So Avram says, oh no, under no circumstances. If the woman will not come, then we're going to find somebody here. A laktiv, the Ulai, is written without a vav between the aleph and the lamed, which means it can be read a lai to me. Bat haitalo Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter. And so, Elosh Yomel Avram lifnote lav lahasiel bito. He was looking for some kind of a cause that Avram would finally say, "Okay, Eliezer, I'll take your daughter for Rivka." Amal Avram, so Avram told him, "Bini Baruch va'ato oru. My son is blessed, and you are accursed. Vein oru medavek baruch. And one who is accursed cannot cling to a baruch." After all I've been telling you about Eliezer, I have been describing to you, see, I'm not hiding anything. Avram calls him an Oror. So two things have to be said. Number one, what he means is, not you personally. Eliezer comes from the family of Chom. Avram is from the family of Shem. A wife for Yitzchak must in the first instance be from the family of Shem. He doesn't mean you, Eliezer, are accursed. What he means is you come from stock that is accursed. And for Yitzchak, who's going to create a Jewish people, we're going to need better than that. Proof, because take a look at the next Rashi. V'avo hayom, he tells them that I came today, hayom yatzati, v'ayom bati. Today I left my house, and today I came. They didn't know what hit them. I mean, how do you do it in one day? There was a mess. Mikan from here, we learned the Kofzalo hearts, the earth jumped before him. Omer Rabacha. Unbelievable statement. Rabacha said, how much more beautiful is the simple talk of a servant of our fathers, before God, from the Torah of the sons. Because the Parsha of Eliezer is written twice. Harbe Gufei Torah Lo Nitnu Elovin and Misa. The whole thing is repeated. You have the whole story twice. Really, you have it three times. Because it says he told it all to Yitzchak. So we see that the words that emanate from Eliezer are beloved by God. You have to see that in context together with the Rashi before. So we're not talking about Eliezer, who is the accursed one. Speaking about his accursedness, I just want to end with a number 15. Omar Maran Harav Zatzal B'Shabbos Kodesh B'Shab Rava De Ravim. The Rav that we're talking about here is Rav Kook. Some of the greatest things he said, Rav Avraham Yitzhak HaKohen Kook, some of the greatest things he said, by the time of Rava De Ravim, Rava De Ravim means the eight Ratzon. Shalashudis. Shalashudis. There are, we have about 6 or 7 years worth of that which he said at Shalashudis in the old city, I think between the years 28, 29, until his death in 35. So at the Shat Rabba the Rabbin, he said, Avram Avinu Mayon Hoya. Avram Avinu was a whale. So the Zohar says in Parashas Toldos, Kil Yotav Nova O Torah, from his body, from his kidneys, there was a flow of Torah. If there's a flow, who's going to take this flow and do something with it? Who's going to channel it? Reu Eliezer, Evan Avram Eliezer, the servant of Rome, Huda Mesek. Shedole Umashke, Mitoros Rabu Shalachayim. He's the one, he's the great enabler. He's the one who takes all that flows from Avram and he disseminates it throughout the world. Avram Avinu, Mibnei Shem, Avram Avinu was from the sons of Shem, school of a lathe. The treasure in the heart of mankind. Who yotzer? Avram is the one who creates. Ve'ilu Eliezer mitzer tzoei Cham. Eliezer, who's from the children of Cham. Kol kocho hu yon hayot ever Avram. All of his power and strength is, he is able to be the most successful servant of Avram. Hu shoev ne'eman, he's a trustworthy fetcher. He takes from the wellsprings of Avraham Avinu. The chol od shelo hikiyah leklal boruch, adayin lo hikiyah leyicholet yetzirah. As long as he's still in order and he has not arrived at the point at which he is a boruch, he's incapable of creation. You know what it means? What he's saying is the following. Dole umashke means that he's able to take the Torah of his Rebbe and transmit it. But he cannot be creative. He's not creative in Torah. He doesn't find a nukshat and a Rashi. He can take the Rashi and say it over. But creativity, he doesn't have it until he becomes Baruch. And even Eliezer is going to become Baruch. Beron Mishahigi Eliezer leklal Baruch, when Eliezer reached the point of Baruch. And you know when that happens? In Parshat Chayei Sarah, when he enters the house of Lavan, they say to him, come, blessed one of God. Oz nemar olav, then the Medrash says about him that he's Eved Maskil, an Eved with great, great intelligence. Mikam ve'elech ukar mosif v'holech b'koach atzmiyuto, from here on and further, his inner strength grows. He's not merely the receptacle who takes and disseminates, but he becomes creative in Torah as well. Kamhu kvar ma'ayan loveya. He also becomes a spring that flows. Va'achshav sichato kula Torah. Therefore, from now on and further, everything that Eliezer says becomes Torah. And all of the words that he says, twice the story, every time he says it, every word that emanates from the mouth of Eliezer becomes eternally enshrined with the sanctity of Torah. V'ad kedei kach sheyotah sichaton shel avdei batei avos mitaroson shel banim. What a beautiful, beautiful explanation. What a beautiful way at least to end. But for all I know, maybe only part one about Eliezer. Who knows what will happen next year? Even if my plane isn't diverted, who knows what will come up with Eliezer?
But you see what how Rav Kook understood? You know, you're not how I'm reading Rav Kook. Rav Kook sees those two Rashis in number 10 before his very eyes. The first Rashi says he's accursed, and the second Rashi says that the plain talk of the servants of the patriarchs is greater than the Torah of the children. Two Rashis that are in sharp contrast, they contradict one another. He says, no, they don't contradict one another. And Eliezer is not really Oror. He is from the family of Ham. But he's going to undergo a dramatic change. When they see in him Baruch Hashem, the blessed one of God, then whatever flows from him is now Torah. He is creating new Torah. It's not only the Torah of Avraham. He becomes not only the disseminator, but the creator of Torah. I could have missed all of this about Eliezer. I could have missed all of this. What an unusual and an exceptional human being. One of the great heroes. And we can't name mentioned once at all. Eliezer and Dvorah are the two giants.